In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
Both today's epistle and gospel reading speak of God as our Father. And I was thinking about the fatherhood of God, and as I was thinking about it, I was reminded of actually a detective story I read this past year. Well, not the detective part, but it had a side plot. One of the characters was a boy who never knew his biological father. This boy was raised by his mom, who eventually meets a good man. In the story, that man was the detective. She eventually meets this man, and they get married, and then the man adopts the boy as his own son. Of course, at one point in the book, a big conflict arises between the dad and the son. And in a fit of emotion, the son yells out, "You're not my father." It's a common occurrence in books and films when there is an adoption. Now, how realistic, I suppose, would depend on the family and the circumstances. But it does bring us back to the question of the fatherhood of God. See, God is not our father by nature. He's our creator by nature, to be sure. He created us as part of the outpouring of his love. But simply because you create something does not make you its father or mother. To be a father requires a relationship. To be a father requires a very particular kind of relationship. God becomes our father not by being our creator, but by adoption. The incarnation of Jesus Christ and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit allows us to call God Father because in Jesus Christ and through his Holy Spirit, God adopts us as his children and offers us a very particular kind of relationship. And I've spoken numerous times on the eternal and the unbreakable, the forever quality of God's fatherhood. And God's fatherhood is not like human fatherhood. God is not tainted by sin. God's is not undercut by brokenness, but is perfect and whole and complete and forever. Now, nothing can take away God being your father. That's the nature of our adoption by God. But as we just said, fatherhood is also a relationship. Father is, by definition, a relationship word. I mean, you can't be a father without a son or daughter. It's a relationship word. To be a father is to be in a particular kind of relationship. And while the fatherhood of God is eternal, the relationship with his sons and daughters, because they are us, is far more complicated. You know, like the dad who adopted his son in the book I mentioned, his fatherhood is for life. I mean, he's not going to renege on it just because of the emotions of his son, no matter what his son says. But that can't stop the boy from yelling, "You're not my father," in a fit of emotion. And of course, a fit of emotion is one thing, but what if the boy walks away from the relationship altogether? Well, the nature of the dad's fatherhood hasn't changed. It hasn't changed if the boy walks away, but the relationship is severely and surely severed. And that's where today's scripture reading comes in. Actually, both readings, because while both speak of the fatherhood of God, these two passages in particular emphasize what it takes for the relationship from the sons and daughters. In other words, from us. They emphasize what we have to do. They emphasize our role in that relationship. And we'll start the reading from Corinthians. God says to us, that Annie read, God says to us, "Come out from among them and be separate. Then I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters." Now God, we already said, is eternally our father by adoption, but for there to be a relationship there, we have a calling. We have a responsibility. In this case, come out from among the world and be separate. That's what makes us sons and daughters in a relationship sense of the word. That's our role. And now before we misunderstand what it means to be separate from the world, It does not mean physical separation. Absolutely not. It does not mean we isolate ourselves in communes and never engage in the outside world. That's not what it means to be separate. It does not mean you can't have dinner or coworkers or be friends with a non-believer. That's not what it means to be separate. To separate yourself means the quality of how you live. I think about it. If a football team separates itself from the competition, it doesn't mean they leave the stadium and refuse to play with the other team. That's not what it means to separate yourself from the competition. To separate yourself from the competition is based on how well you play. It means you train harder. It means you practice smarter. It means you play better. That's how you separate yourself from the competition. And likewise, when sons and daughters of God come out and be separate from the world, it doesn't mean we stop associating with the world. It means we take on the qualities of God. It means we pray genuinely. It means we practice virtue selflessly. It means we produce the fruits of the Spirit. It means we are obedient to something greater and more wonderful than ourselves. And that's why in our reading, when Paul tells us if we come out and be separate from the world, then we'll be the sons and daughters of God our Father. That's why Paul doesn't say, therefore, leave the world. That's not what he says. He says, therefore, let us cleanse ourselves. It's about the quality. Let us cleanse ourselves and put on holiness. That's how we separate ourselves from the world. Being separate from the world is a quality. We cleanse ourselves from what is filthy, and we perfect holiness in how we think and act and to whom we are obedient. Now, that's what separates us from the world, this quality of holiness. And that leads us straight to today's gospel reading, the other reading that talks about God as our Father. And Jesus here specifically teaches what it takes to be sons and daughters of God. And it is, again, it is to have the qualities, not like the world, but the qualities of our Father in heaven. Jesus, in fact, he specifically contrasts. He says, the world does that, so sons and daughters do this. Let me just reread that passage for us. He says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend back to sinners if they're going to receive as much back. That's the that. He says, that's not us. That's not us. He says, but you, I say to you, love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. That's the this. That's what he is calling us to. And your reward will be great. And here it is. And you will be sons and daughters of the Most High. For God, your Father, is kind to the unthankful and the selfish. Therefore, be merciful as your Father also is merciful. The quality is that we take on the qualities of God himself. That's what makes us sons and daughters in a relationship sense of the word. God as our Father and us as his sons and daughters is when we take on his qualities of holiness. Now, when God adopted us as his children, the nature of that adoption is both irrevocable and eternal. Nothing we can do can change that fact that God is our Father by adoption. But the relationship we have a part in that. It's one thing, like a child in a book or a film, to tell God, you're not my father, in a fit of emotion and then to repent of it. It's quite another to betray that relationship day in and day out through sin because we either simply don't care or we simply don't try, or worse, we have melted into the self-absorbed world around us. But from that self-absorbed world, God is calling each and every one of us. And he says, come out of that mess. Come out. Come out of that mess and separate yourself from that filth by the quality of what you can be in me. And I'll teach you, he says. I'll teach you to perfect holiness. And in that relationship, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters. Amen. Thank you.